Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. We're discussing Russia, Vladimir Putin, and Ukraine today. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wmc.org/voxpop. Check in on Facebook at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, or the way I would do it if I were you, but then I'm old, would be to email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So we're talking about what would you do if you were the president right now? How do you think he's been handling himself? What would you do if you were Vladimir Putin right now? What do you think he's up to? What do you do? I mean, what do you do? They've got nuclear stuff. Clearly, Putin has been up to no good. I don't know what to tell you, but that's why we call it the Vox Pop. The Vox is you. That's you, the people. And the Pop is here. Okay, let's go to Bob in Albany. 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from all of you. Let's go. Bob, up to you.
We need boots on the ground. We need either a team of one U.S. soldier and one Russian soldier so that we can check each other as a peacekeeping force. We make that proposal in front of the U.N., and once the Russians balk on that, we know, well, we already know, but we put them on the spot.
We already know, right?
You got a hello?
Yeah,
hello?
You're right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, you're right. Bob. Oh, boy. Bob is gone. And that leaves us with nobody on the line except for you, because you're going to make that call, 1-800-348-2551. Bob's suggestion is that we go before the UN and say, we're going to have boots on the ground to maintain order. There'll be Russians and United States soldiers. And when the Russians decide that they don't want to participate, then we'll know. But of course, we already know that Putin, a former KGB colonel, who I suspect is after the resuscitation of the great Russian Empire, has been doing. He says one thing, he does the other. And I think the whole world is sort of on to it, to be honest with you. So communism may be dead, but Russianism isn't dead. 1-800-348-2551. Well, guess what? Three of the five phones are ringing right now. That's good. All you got to do is get online. It only takes a couple of minutes. Everybody does their thing. Then they get off. Then you get on. That's great. And let's go to Mike in Worthington, Massachusetts. Okay. Mike, you're on.
Hello there.
Hey, hello there, as the 2,000-year-old man once said. Go ahead.
Well, I would just like to state that my feeling is that when we failed to stand up to Vladimir Putin in the Syrian conflict just a few months ago, that emboldened him. And now we are so divided that there's nothing we can do.
Well, we got to do something. So my question to you is, you know, what would you have done if you were Obama to Putin in the Syrian conflict?
Well, it starts at home. And my feeling is that Putin, President Obama needs to really get out on the trail and try and unite us behind this cause.
Well, don't you think he did that? I mean, we played his news conference the other day. I thought he was pretty good.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah. I just think that he needs to be relentless, and he needs to call on all of us Americans to stand up and say something. You know, through all these wars, we have basically not been asked to do anything. You know, we're just sitting here. We're just, you know, go out and spend money. That's our job.
Hey, Mike, I want to interrupt you for one moment because all the phones are ringing, and I just wanted to tell everybody we've got one volunteer who answers all the phones, so just stay with it. His name is Bruce, and Bruce will be getting to you in moments. He's very good at this. So, Mike, you want the president to stand up to Putin and to work harder at uniting the people of this country. And, you know, that's sort of interesting because I am sure that part of what Putin is up to is to play to his constituency.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. If you go on Russia today, they're ginning up the entire nation of Russia, and right now the entire nation of America, well, 53% of us don't even believe that the president is a valid leader of this nation. And until we all stand up and support our president and support this country, we're going down the toilet.
Okay, Mike, you made your point. I appreciate your call, and thank you so much, Mike, for starting us off. I appreciate it a lot.
Thanks. Take care.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to, is it Yuri in Saratoga? Yuri.
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Hi.
You can tell by my name that I'm Russian, and
gotcha.
I just would like to point out a few things. I'm watching all kinds of programs and TVs and in English and Ukrainian and Russian.
Sure.
So I have more perspective, more broader picture than most of the Americans. I'm just saying that sometimes it's very easy to say that, you know, Russian propaganda or this and that, so we don't have to listen. I'm just saying that the truth is somewhere in the middle. Not everything is just black and white.
Wait, Yuri, what do you think the truth is? Forget about gilding the lily. What do you think the truth is?
Well, I'll tell you honestly, I don't know who shot the plane. But what bothers me is that hours after the plane was shot, all media was, you know, rushed into saying, oh, it was Putin's fault. I don't like this way. I think this should be investigation. And there's a lot of evidence, you know, showing the other way.
Well, so what do you America think? Okay, well, what do you think of Putin?
Well, to be honest with you, I like the guy. He's straightforward.
Really,
I'm just saying that I have no reason to hate him. Or I think he's a very smart guy. And
he's very smart. But my sense, Yuri, is that he is playing to the Russian people in a sort of classic nationalist move, that this gets people like you, for example, who, you know, you may not have liked what has become of the old Soviet Union and Russia, you know, to support him.
I agree with you, Alan, but just one thing I want to point out.
Sure.
How come that, well, we all Soviets were bad, and then all of a sudden, when it's Ukraine and Russia, we choose, Ukraine over Russia. All of a sudden, all the Ukrainians are good guys now.
Yuri, I said this morning, and I'm going to tell you again, I agree with you. A lot of these Ukrainian guys were thugs. There's no two ways about it. And the idea that we always have to have one good guy and one bad guy is not always the best thing. However, in this case, I happen to think that Putin is up to double dealing. That's what I think.
I'm telling you, I have nothing to say on this one. I'm just saying that there is a lot of strange thing going on, and the nationalism in Ukraine has always been
yes,
the worst.
Right.
I remember
when
I was in the Soviet Union, I'll tell you, the KGB of Ukraine was the worst of KGB of all the Soviet Union, and the militia or police, you know, in Ukraine was the worst. It's a known fact. It's just true.
Well,
and I'm just saying that those guys who, you know, they were bad, and now they're good just because they get
Russia.
No, I
think you make a point.
I
think you make a point. And Yuri, I want to thank you. I really love having you on the program today, but there are four people behind you, so we're going to let you go.
All right.
And,
thanks, Alan.
The call. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Alan. Okay. Bye.
Let's go to, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. So Phil and Michael and Robert and Douglas, you stay right there. And we are back, and thank you for holding on, everybody. There's one free phone right now. Let's go to Phil in Amherst. Okay, Phil, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I'm a refugee myself from Soviet invasion of Lithuania at the end of World War II. Oh. And also I have spent a year doing graduate study in 73-74 in Lithuania. And so it gives me some familiarity and feel for the situation, because you know that Rasputin is the old family name of Putin, which was the mad monk during the Tsar time, and therefore looking at his family history and everything that's done, he's extremely manipulative and self-serving individual, having been in the KGB, which is like Bush 41. I think he was in similar circumstances of being, in the CIA, I think he was the head of.
He was the head of the CIA.
And so we've got a situation here where they're going to push as hard as they can. They're sending in agent provocateurs. They're sending in advanced weaponry, anything to take the Russian people's mind off their really reduced standard of living, the reduced pensions, everything else that's hurting the ordinary person.
It's
a play. Like your smoke and mirror sort of thing, like the Colosseum in Rome, to take the people's minds off their own problems. Well, that's what he's doing in Russia. He's trying to get the people to see, oh, God, there's an enemy out there. Don't pay attention to, you know, your hunger or your lack of money. Pay attention to patriotism, Mother Russia, protect it.
But, Phil, what's interesting about this is that they're going to end up having sanctions put against them. There's no question. And it's going to hurt them even more. The real question is, will his appeal to their nationalism outdo the hurt that they will feel when the sanctions kick in?
You know how much the Russian people suffered during World War II and during communism?
Yeah, you bet.
Of course, suffering isn't going to reach that level
But of course there was...
And
there was
remember,
something.
The at the top...
Yeah, wait. There was something called Stalin.
At the time, killed, I think, 10 million Ukrainians through starvation.
Yeah, exactly. So,
don't think they don't remember that.
Phil, some of them weren't alive. A lot of them weren't alive.
Yeah, but still, stories from the family. And
hey, Phil, I appreciate your call. Thank you for doing it. You're welcome. Very interesting. Okay. We got a couple of emails at WAMC.org. Our president, famous for his overly cool demeanor, needs to get, or at least appear to get, full-out angry and read Vladimir the Riot Act. Nothing gets attention as much as a roaring mouse. And that's from Bonnie. And then also we heard from Ed, who has, what should Obama do? And he says, nothing, not our job. Okay, so that's VoxPop at WAMC.org. VoxPop at WAMC.org. We got one free phone. We've got people, and we're going to keep them going. Okay, Michael in New York State. Okay, Michael.
Hey, Alan, I hope you can hear me clearly. I got to say, boy, the biggest concern that I have is that people expect Obama to do something drastic.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last possible thing that we need. And if you don't do something drastic, then you're looked upon as allowing Putin to just kind of, run over us. But that's the reality of the situation. Putin, as you have said and some of your callers have said, is a brilliant, brilliant strategist in this maneuver. And he realizes that we are, Obama, because of his the way that Congress looks at him, is disapproval within Congress and his inability to sustain a majority. And listen, I'm a 56-year-old African-American that voted for him twice. But the reality is that he has a problem with getting people to get behind him. So he's handcuffed, and Putin knows that. It's an incredibly brilliant situation that Putin put himself in. But I do think that the Court of World Appeal is going to look at him and condemn him. Although I do think also that Russian citizens are looking at this as a boost to nationalism.
Well, I think that's right. I think that's right. Michael, I thank you so much for your call. Makes great sense. Appreciate it. Okay.
Great.
That leaves two free phones, number three and number four. I think, Zach, number three may be disabled for some reason, and because you might want to talk to Patrick Cooney, our vice president for operations, about line number three. Anyway, I may be wrong. Let's go to Robert in Albany. Robert in Albany, you're on.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah, I called because I just want to say that I don't think anybody mentioned this, about that with this it seems to me this would, if he's not careful, this will undo. It took a long time for us to get between Gorbachev and President Reagan to get rid of the end the Cold War. And also there's problems in Israel, the Middle East, and Russia has influence there too with the Syrians.
Indeed.
And the terrorists to sell their weapons to them. And they also took an action to help these people in the Ukraine that were, they were against the government. They're not part of the Ukraine government. And they, but they have to, Obama has to think to himself, what will be the effect of what I do? It's like back during the, when they did the airlift to the Berlin was seized, under siege.
Yep.
President Kennedy was the president, and he could have done the same thing. He could have said, we're going to have military action. It would have been very easy, and that's the same situation right now. But he's on the world stage. He wants to also keep, he doesn't want to undo all the work. It took a long time to get the coexistence, the peace, to end the Cold War, and he's trying to, that's what people are not looking
well,
at.
Wait, Robert. Here's the question. A lot of people have been calling and writing and saying that that basically Obama has to be more grandiose, more angry, more leadership oriented. And here we find this guy who was on our air yesterday, as you know, giving this White House talk and was, I thought, terrific. You know, right down the middle. He called Putin out on it. He said Putin's responsible for it and has to take the responsibility. I don't know what more he could do. Does he want bellicosity? Do people want bellicosity? I sure don't.
Yes, but I want you. Could you talk about what I said about how it took a long time to end the Cold War? If President Obama actually took military action, then Putin could turn around and say, "Well, that's the end of that." And also, that would also involve the Middle East too.
Can't do that.
You know, trying to say that the Russians have a lot of influence. They're like United States. And it would put us back in the Cold War. That's what I really believe.
Nah, I don't see it. I don't see Putin being able
to.
Well,
he has to be careful what he does, because does he really want to do that? Does he want to? What do you see then?
No. I think Putin's going to be a pain in the rear end as much as he can. He's going to, as you've correctly identified, try to play to the Russian sense of nationalism, get them on his side, say, you know, because let's face it, there was a huge loss of prestige for the Russians after the Soviet Union collapsed. I made the analogy this morning, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way. But, you know, after Hitler came to power, he came because of the disgrace of World War I and how the Kaiser lost. It doesn't really matter what they call the government. There was a real hunger to reestablish the Germans.
Yes. I want to say one last thing, please. What I'm saying is there's places in the world that are unstable, like Ukraine is very unstable now. For somebody to go and shoot down an unarmed aircraft.
Disgusting.
It shows it's a very unstable region in the world.
Don't you think that Israel?
But I think it's worse because there's different people there, groups that are not under the command of a government.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's actually worse in the Middle East right now. The Ukraine is actually worse. And I think that Putin is, in other words, it's better to not get entangled in that, to keep it contained.
Okay,
unfortunate what did happen.
Hey,
it's
Robert,
terrible. It's a tragedy.
Hey, Robert, we got a lot of people waiting on the phone.
I want to hear what you say about this.
No, you'll hear it as the day unfolds. Thank you so much for calling. Right. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. The name of the game is not what Alan thinks. It's what you think, guys. Let's go to Douglas in Albany. Douglas, you're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes. Well, back in April, there was an article in the Financial Times from England. It made a point that a third of the Russian military budget is spent on products made in the Ukraine. And it made another point in it that they have these military attack helicopters, and the engines for their top-of-the-line military attack helicopter is made at a factory in Ukraine. And a lot of people talk about how whatever Putin is doing makes no sense. But I never hear. This article was not picked up. Nobody investigated it.
Okay, but your point is, Douglas.
My point is, in order to solve a problem, you need to understand what's at stake for the people on both sides of the issue. And I'm not saying Putin's right. But I'm saying if we don't understand that this very large element of the Soviet military defense budget is involved with Ukrainian industry, we don't understand what Putin is doing. We say, oh, he's a madman.
Well, wait a second now. Wait a second. No, yeah. I haven't said he's a madman. I think he's very cunning. I think he's
very clever.
I think he knows what he's doing. And by the way, I think he made an argument during the seizure of the Crimea that made a lot of people scratch their heads and said, well, maybe. But first of all, we'd have to look at this article, which you have not
seen. Well, I understand. I'm pointing to this article. I first heard about it late night on the BBC for like a little 2-minute moment that they mentioned it. Mm-hmm. And then I was waiting for the next day to hear it in regular kinds of news broadcasts. Didn't. And then finally I sat down at the computer and just typed in Soviet defense budget spent in Ukraine. And this FT article came up.
Uh-huh.
Financial Times. That's not like...
Okay, no, well, you made the point. You've made it twice. Now, what else you got? Bring it.
Well, that's my point is...
Okay, you made the point. It's good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
To understand what's at stake for Putin.
No, you said that
imagine,
already.
Imagine, right? Okay, and now, all of our pressure, right? We talk about how Putin has to let the Ukraine go. If it wants to be part of NATO, part of NATO. To understand what's going on with Russian mindset.
No, you said that. We got that.
Okay,
we're all smart. We're all smart.
You said we've got it, but I don't think that it was quite clear, which is...
No, you were very clear.
Imagine that Mexico turns out manufactures an important defense item and is now going to become closely militarily allied with the Russians.
Right.
How do people in America feel?
Okay.
About this hypothetical.
Douglas?
We're probably not happy with that.
Douglas, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. You made your point.
There you go.
Okay. Let's go to Marie in Newburgh. Marie in Newburgh, you're on.
Hi. I'll try to be quick. What about Blackwater? I haven't heard anyone speaking about that yet. They seem to be the new mercenary army for the United States.
Yeah.
They were implicated in the early part of this war between the Ukrainians and the Russians when the Ukrainians did sniping on their own people, and they found that the machinery, that the mechanics of the guns that were used were not either Russian or Ukrainian, but they did belong to Blackwater. They were the stuff that was dispensed to them to use. I didn't hear anything about that.
Okay, wait a second. Marie, I want to ask you a question, since the question I asked to organize all of this is, what would you do if you were Obama right now?
If I was Obama?
Yep.
I'd tear out the rest of my hair. I would be so confused. I think Putin is just as confused as Obama. I think that we are being, well, a shadow war is going on around all of us, and we don't know. I don't believe in coincidences. I think the Gaza thing is going on around us. I think there's things happening in Congo and in other places that we're not, that's not on the pages. I think that the corporation giants are taking us for a big ride, and this is just a diversion. I hate to say it's a diversion because there's so many people being killed. But I think Blackwater is actually our new army, and that's why we got a big budget.
Well, there's no question they've been pretty powerful and that they've been all around the place and that they've gotten caught a couple of times. Marie, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to James in North Adams. James, you're on.
Oh, hi. So by way of background, I'm a Russian expert. I speak Russian. I'm Ukrainian. And just to hear about what's going on in the American news is ridiculous.
Where do you teach, James?
I'm sorry?
Where do you teach?
I don't teach. I just was educated in the Russian language and history and culture.
Uh-huh.
And
okay.
And lived in Moscow and Ukraine.
Right. Go ahead, James.
So I'm able to understand the news beyond most people. So first of all, Putin means man of revolt in Russian, just so everybody knows that. But what's really happening here is there's a proxy war that has been developed since the fall of the Soviet Union, and that has been for possession of Ukraine. Ukraine was a part of the Russian government for so long. It was nationalized. Now what they're trying to do is they're trying to privatize everything. They're trying to divvy up Ukraine. They're trying to take everything. The Western and Eastern forces are trying to divvy up the country, you know, sort of like what they did in the Middle East after World War II. So they're going after all that. And The Russians had nothing to do with this plane being shot down. Let's get that very, very clear.
You may be an expert, but there's an awful lot of people from the president on down who don't seem to agree with you.
Right. Of course they don't, because they want to continue this. This is how wars start.
And how do you know that the Russians had absolutely nothing to do with it? The Russians gave them the... Wait. The Russians gave them the missiles, didn't they? The Russians have trained them, didn't they? I mean, where do you find the evidence that says the Russians had nothing to do with it? I don't know that they did, but I know I don't know that they didn't.
Well, because I go beyond what you see in media and what you see, and I'll explain it very, very specifically. It was shot down by a plane. The plane is a Sukhoi 25, which is sort of like a base in Sukhoi. I think there's three or four different Sukhoi that was.
Where do you get that from? I mean, all of the evidence seems to be ground to air.
What I'll tell you to go to Russian News or RT.com, and that's where you can find it. You can find articles about that explaining. They actually show maps. They show the radar. They show the trajectory. They show the plane triangulating on the position.
This is a Russian news. This is a Russian news agency you're sending us to?
Yes, RT.com.
Well, I'm so surprised that the Russians are saying this. I mean, if you may get a little bit of, you know, sardonicness in my voice, but
but
certainly the Russians are claiming anything but that they had anything to do with it.
Yes, they did not have anything to do with it. It's built up that way, just like most wars and most battles are started because of some type of false flag operation.
Okay.
This happens to be one of them.
Okay.
So the
James,
you've got to finish up
because there are a lot of people behind you. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll be really quick. So the idea is to foment another Cold War. That's the idea, to get us against them, to form a new enemy, and that's about it. But it's just...
And the reason for... James, the reason for that is what? The reason to foment is to sell more arms or to...
Easy. Yeah. That's you know that since World War II, military has been our economic base.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we stop our military? Why would we stop military engagement? We're always looking for new stuff. We're always looking for new battles. Now, we're trying to divvy up Ukraine via private companies, which is always heralded through the military. That's what's happening.
Hey, James, send me an email, alan@wamc.org. Give me your name and contact number. We may want to use you in the future. Okay, thanks for calling.
Appreciate it very much. Okay,
yeah. Right. Let's go to Peter in Albany. Okay, Peter, you're up.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Well, I don't know.
Hey,
some days
listen, I'm 56, and I want to disagree with the other 56-year-old.
Okay.
I wish I'd called you yesterday, but I guess in hindsight, I'm frankly leftist and a pacifist. But if I were Obama, I would have gone in last Friday and cleared that spot and secured that spot to ensure a complete and unimpeded investigation.
Okay, so when you say gone in, you would have dropped troops in there.
I would have gone in with A-10s and helicopters and Marines to clear the cornfield and secure that area in order to secure it.
Well, wait a second now. The other side of that is right now the Dutch and the even the Germans, who were very friendly with Putin and others, are really ticked off about this. If we had gone in, I have a feeling they would be venting on us and not on Putin.
I think you're probably right, but on the other hand, there is the. We had the ability to do it, and
no. We have the ability to do it. The question is it wise?
Nobody else was going to do it, and as long as Ukraine was an ally, and I believe they are, securing that border and going in and securing that area would have avoided the atrocities that were embedded on those victims.
Okay, fair enough. You mean the searching of their bodies and all the rest of it. Peter, we're going to have to take a break now. We thank you for your call. Very interesting. Thanks for doing it.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be right back. And we are back. We got a full bank of phones. We're coming around the curve. This is our lightning round. Bob says, who exactly decided this is our problem? Does anybody remember our latest two misadventures in Iraq and Afghanistan? Where is Europe on this, at least in view of their proximity? Where's our priorities? Do we have a universal single-payer health care, a robustly funded educational system, thriving cities? Didn't we just hear Lester Brown on AR speaking about the massive amount of taxpayer dollars we're exacting for the Department of Defense to joust at Wilmington? Finally, has anyone considered Mr. Putin might be just wishing for more U.S. entanglement to take us down, just like Reagan's freedom fighters took down the Soviet Union? Thanks from Bob. Okay, let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Welcome back, Abigail. Glad you're with us.
Thank you, Alan. Oh, you have such a smart audience. I love it. I love it. I love it. Anyway, do you remember the game? I remember the game in the Bronx. In a yard outside my window, and we used to play territory, and we used to have a knife, and you know it was like geography, cutting up territories. Anyway, I think that Obama is doing something by doing nothing, and I love him. I'm very proud of him, and I just hope we don't get into another stupid war.
I love what you say. He's doing something by doing nothing. And I think that's great. Abigail, as always, you're incisive and you make a great comment. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, let's go to Norman in Great Barrington. Hello, Norman.
Hello. Alan, Obama's doing just the right thing. He cannot act without Europe. And Europe is doing a junior version of the late 1930s when Hitler kept pushing and everybody else kept running away. And that's just what's happening now. Europe does not want to be decisive in this.
Okay, so, but there's, you know, they got a few issues like gas and relationships with the Russians and all the rest. But let me ask you this.
Well, but that's always a problem.
Yeah, no, it's always the problem. So do you expect them to have the courage to do something or not?
I think they'll do something, but I don't think it's going to be very effective.
Yeah, well, you're probably right, Norman. I think that it's a very important insight that you're offering us, because they are the key to this. And I think the more that Obama does and takes on for them, the less they'll do.
I agree.
Thank you, Norman. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to Elliot in Lenox. Elliot, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. My suggestion, in direct answer to your question, is that Obama give Ukraine back to Russia. I view the pressure that the Western nations were putting on Russia to encircle it with economic and military power analogous to the missiles coming to Cuba. And we should have just let them have this sphere of influence. We prodded them into this, and it was a horrible mistake. As you said, or some of your people said, that Ukraine is a basket case. And why we kept pushing and pushing to get them into the Western sphere beats me. I think it was actually a Cold War reaction on our part that made no sense whatsoever. The second thing I'd say is that understandably, the American people are not taken with going to war after what happened in our last two wars. And in light of that, my suggestion would be we should bring back the draft, so that right now these wars are just shows for most people. But if their kids are going to be in these wars, and these kids are going to be in these wars, we'll think a little harder.
So let me interrupt you for a second, because you know you speak with great profundity. Pardon me. The reason we don't have a draft now is because exactly that. They don't want that to happen. In other words, the last thing that the government wants, which is, you know, they saw what happened in Vietnam. Believe me, you can make all the arguments in the world about right or wrong, but a lot of people didn't want to go. And that was their undoing. So,
yes, and I think you're right. But I think it's a big mistake, because overall, the U.S. population is very uninformed about what's going on in the rest of the world. Anyone who spent any time in the Netherlands or in Germany knows how much they care about and are informed in school about what's going on. We don't know. So if the president comes along and says, we got to go to this war, we'll say, okay, fine, we'll go to this war. But if the children who are going to fight in these wars and their influential parents heard that their kid might be drafted, it'd be a very different situation.
Okay, you made the point and you made it well. Thank you, Elliot. Appreciate it very much. Okay, and let's go to David in Albany. David, you're on.
Hello there. How are we doing today?
So far, so good. Don't ruin it.
Okay. I had a few points I wanted to bring up with regards to this at all. I pulled over the side of the road, so I'm not driving illegally or anything.
No, but you have to be quick, because there are a lot of people behind you. Go ahead.
Absolutely. First of all, this is existing in the larger context of really a lot of struggle between the West and the East with regards to economics. We see the new BRICS bank that got set up about a week ago down in Brazil. They decided to announce the setup of that. There are several things. There was a photograph originally produced by the Ukrainian government that claims it was of a Russian bunk missile system on its way back to Moscow. But people have debunked that since then. They've looked at what's in the background of it, and they were very sloppy. They showed signs and shops that were in the background that were in a city that is in the former Ukraine, not where the current rebellion is going on.
Okay, but I need you, David, only because we're so tight for time, I need a bottom line. What's your bottom line here?
There are four possibilities. Two possibilities are that either side made a mistake, and the other two possibilities are that either side created a false flag to start blame the other. I think given the fact that Victoria Nuland has been shown to be fomenting the coup in the first place, in that famous conversation that never gets played on NPR or the corporate media, the fact that the Ukraine government is trying to frame the Russians with pictures of Buk missile systems in their own area, I think that the likeliest outcome is that the Western government did this, and they're trying to blame Russia for it.
Okay, David, thank you very much. That's the bottom line, and we'll go to Ray in Steventown, the only one in America. Go ahead, Ray. You're on.
Yes, hi. Dr. Chartuk, there's one thing that I've heard little about, and I'd like to bring this up. The president made the point about how it was unthinkable that a country would shoot down a passenger jet. Well, you're old enough, and I know that you remember, that the last time this happened, the country that did it was the United States. And we shot down an Iranian passenger jet, which the captain of the cruiser said he thought was a fighter plane attacking his ship,
mm-hmm.
and he shot it down.
Mm-hmm.
There were something like 350 people killed.
So you think this is a case of friendly fire?
I think it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people thought it was a plane of the central government of Ukraine.
Yep.
And just as if we believe our captain, and I don't know whether we should or not, that he thought that this was a jet. And, of course, in the case of our captain, this was a cruiser with the most sophisticated equipment in the world.
No, okay, Ray, but your point really is well taken, that you think it was a mistake, and you're not the only one who thinks that.
I do. I think that they are just absolutely shocked and chagrined and despondent that this happened. This is the last thing that they ever wanted to happen.
That Putin needed, yeah.
Yes, and he didn't want it to happen any more than I hope that our captain.
On the other hand, he did give them the weapons, and he did train them.
Yes.
Ray, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
All right, let's go to Dan in Greenfield. Dan in Greenfield, you're on. 1-800-348-2551. We got a few more phone calls we can get in. Go ahead, Dan.
Alan, good conversations today.
Thank you.
Interesting point. I think that the president should gather a lot more information before he jumps into this, pointing the fingers. Richard brought up an interesting point.
But wait, Dan, how do you know he doesn't have the information? I mean, they spend billions on this stuff, and how do you know that, he's not acting on what he heard in his super-secret briefing in the morning?
Well, I think he's acting upon it, but Richard, the fellow who's Ukrainian-born and has a lot of Ukrainian information and pointed towards the Russian news source,
yeah.
I think there's a lot more that Americans don't know, and because we don't get a lot of European information over this way, it's censored in some respects, that there might be another side to this story.
Well, yes, there often is another side to it. But based on Putin's actions, in which he says one thing, does the opposite, then goes ahead and says, puts out an olive branch, and then goes against what he's saying, or he has somebody else who's working for him. I mean, he's sort of establishing a bit of a character, isn't he, that we can see?
Well, I tend to agree with that, but, you know, the leadership in this country has misled us in a few other places, i.e. yellow cake in Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I would take a second look at all this before. It could very well be, as some of the people have pointed out, that these big companies are using this as testing grounds for weapons.
Well, it certainly could. We can't discount the fact that there is this, as somebody said, a shadow war going on.
And going back to one other item, they don't want to have a draft because, number one, the kid next door doesn't want to get hauled away, but they're developing super strong robot soldiers, and wait, someday the Terminator will be here.
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Jesse and Gilderland. Jesse, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I was wondering why the United States is so supportive of the government in the Ukraine, given that they came to power by means of a coup d'etat.
Well, that's true. But let me ask you a question, Jesse. Why do you think our government is so supportive?
Well, I'm thinking there has to be economics. Maybe they want to control the oil and natural gas that comes out of that region. I mean, everything comes down to oil or gas.
Okay.
But I mean, why? I mean, the people who were out there toppling the government. My understanding is that they were fascists and anti-Semites.
Well, there is no
from
question.
Back in the Baba Yar era.
No, there's no question that that was their history. No question at all. And as I said earlier in the program, that thuggery was not unknown amongst them. The point that you made has been made many times, is that there was not an election which drove that guy from power. It was people in the street with pots and pans. So who knows, you know, does our CIA get involved in any of this stuff? Do our spies get involved in it? You make a series of very good points, and, you know, you'll have to have a scorecard later on. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Alan in Williamstown. Alan in Williamstown, you're on.
Hey, Alan. I am probably one of the four conservatives in Williamstown, and I listen to your show regularly.
I doubt you're one of the four. I think that it's a fairly conservative place. But go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways, Alan, I think a lot of what's happening, our president brought it on ourselves. And the reason I say that is before the election, when he told Putin that he has more leniency in after the election. And when he told Mitt Romney that, he actually laughed at Mitt Romney when Romney said that he thought the Russians were one of the biggest fears America has. And, you know, Obama said, no, it's not him, it's the Iranians. But now we're seeing the fruit of it. And the problem is whether you like Barack Obama, whether you dislike him, everybody listens to every word the president of the United States says, and everybody reads into what the president says. So when a guy like Putin hears that, he automatically thinks, how can I take this to my advantage?
You can take advantage.
Now I think we're seeing it.
Like my mom used to say. Hey, Alan, I think you made your point. I'm trying to get everybody in. Thank you very much for doing that. And let's go to Nellie in Albany. Okay, Nellie.
This is Nellie in Albany.
Yes, it is. I know.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the show. But the question is very strange because I'm from Russia. I'm a refugee. Nobody can do anything to Putin just because 82% of population of Russia supports him.
And that's why he's doing it. Hey, Nelly.
Dearly.
Nelly.
And they don't understand.
Nelly, I got my hand on a control here, so it's a conversation, you and me. So, but there are a lot of people who think Putin is doing this exactly for the reason you're saying, to get those people with their nationalistic pride,
exactly,
including you,
right,
on their side.
Exactly right.
Hello?
So,
hello?
So we should have to wait when Russian population will be awaked somehow and understand something. They love him. They loved Stalin. Now they love Putin. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're actually out of callers. I can't believe it. Every phone was ringing, and then as we get towards the end of the program, people say, well, you know, I'll never get in, and they don't call, and then that's that. So we're getting close to being out of time. So I'm going to thank all the folks who called in because you did a great job today.